travel 1/4 the speed of light, 46,500 miles per second, few things matter more than getting your knob gobbled upon. P1222. Sitting down at the little breakfast bar, an over middle-aged woman smiled and said, "Welcome to the Space Cafe. Can I get you started with anything, honey?" I couldn't help myself but to half smile and reply, "Is your coffee really out of this world?" She smiled back, set her hand on the counter, and leaned in. She pointed to the dark window looking out. "You know, they say, it smells like burnt meat out there." I looked towards the one of many porthole-like windows that remind everyone that they were set to sail in the vast darkness of space. She leaned closer and said, "Between you and I, that coffee tastes like burnt asshole." She shrugged. "So maybe it is out of this world," taking a step back as I rewarded her with a laugh, to which she made a curtsy. "Thank you," I said, noticing her name tag, adding, "Max." She looked sharply back and said, "You can call me Maxine. I'll get you some of our famous coffee. Will you decide what you want?" The screen came to life before me on the counter, displaying a menu. I didn't look. "Number 13, over easy, wheat toast and milk, tall," I said. "Milk." Aboard the ever-present was synthetic. Apparently, it's not feasible to send a breeding herd of cows through space-time for a 30-year one-way trip. Thinking about it made me anguish. Real milk and cheese have been on my mind and in my dreams after the first 6 months nonstop. It's how I realized I was starting to dream more. More than I had remembered ever dreaming. It seemed the farther away I got from Earth, the more frequent and powerful my dreams had become. It's not like I'm going crazy, I'm firm of mind, but 16 years of sail in this ship, it definitely changes you. The thoughts that follow were too many to straighten out in my head, a rabbit hole with no start or finish. Maxine approached with my plate of food and a steaming hot cup of burnt asshole. She said it straight-faced. "Thank you, my dear." My hands reached in appreciation. "Anything else?" she questioned. "You know what I want. Don't be coy." Maxine put her hands on her hips. "You know the rules." She was annoyed. I looked down at the plate of food. Not everything was synthetic. The bacon was real. Most of the toast was real. The butter was fake as fuck. The eggs were real. Looking up, I said, "You know this could be perfect, Max. My toast is not buttered properly. It's a little burnt here and there." Definitely entering the convo, Maxine interjected, "Better to pair with your coffee, sweet." I huffed. "Don't sweet me, honey." Maxine snapped back, "Fine," setting my blanketed utensils down. "Ketchup," I said hungrily. Not breaking her gaze of me, she slowly, almost seductively, started sliding her portly wrist into her left lower apron pocket. And slowly her hand emerged. A white and red packet was revealed. Her hand slowly slid the packet towards my plate from her side of the bar. "Max," I said loudly. "I want the bottle." "Fine," she said, reaching for the packet as she turned around. But fast as the crack of a whip, I snatched the packet from her, a disapproving look coming my way. "I'm keeping it," I waved at her. She spun on her heels a little faster and slightly more graceful than a woman her age should be able to do. My hand holding my forehead as if to get a hold of myself. "Keep it together, man. Just 15 more years. Fuck. What have I done?" Maxine walking in dramatically, carrying the bottle of ketchup like a baby, cradling it and looking towards the cap, saying coos and purrs. I laughed. She slowly, deliberately set it soft and gently before me. "Thank you, Maxine." She smiled and gave me a wink. To which I said, "You may not want to watch this part." She looked slightly up, closing her eyes and nodding, before opening her eyes and turning on her heels away. I picked up the bottle. It was incredible, 100% real tomato ketchup. Oddly, there were a few things that were 100% real, and this was one of them. They grow or manufacture all of the ingredients and bottle it here in real time. Shaking the bottle, then I just turned it right side down, and emptied the entire thing onto my plate. I don't know why, but this ketchup seemed to be one of the few things that could help with my nightmares. Nightmares that have become longer and consumingly frequent. Freud said dreams were the mind's way of telling the body it's deficient in the humors. Well, I don't think he said humors. I removed the spoon from my napkin roll and started eating the ketchup off my plate like it was tomato soup. I dipped the bacon in it feverishly. It was a horrible combination that was unearthly satisfying. I ate the bacon, a few bites of the toast dunked in the golden yolks, and after I finished, the mess I left resembled that of an unfinished back alley abortion. Maxine walked back in. She just stood there and looked disapprovingly at my mess. "You happy?" she asked, open-armed. I growled, "Yeah, I'm good. Thanks, honey." She was picking up my plate. I said, "You know the synthesizers can make it perfect every time. You know that, right?" "Honey," she said, "it happens every once in a while. Besides that, you can pay more credits." My eyes not focusing on anything. I mean, even if it was perfect, though. She put her hands on her hips, brow furrowed. "If it was perfect, what?" she said. "I mean, it tastes like the real thing, but it's just missing. It's like the difference between fucking a real woman and a cyborg," I laughed. Maxine was not too happy, plate in hand and turning away once more. She said angrily, "That's not what you said Wednesday night." I just shook my head. Yes, yes, she was right. Perking back up and giving her a doe-eyed grin. "So, I'll see you Wednesday night?" "Psst," she made a sound from her mouth. "I'll have to check my schedule." "Oh, no need. I booked you Sunday night with a double points coupon and senior discount." She was the senior in this situation. "Little heads up. I plan on making you watch 20-year-old documentaries while I get wasted and play with your butt." She blushed and smiled. "Oh, I forgot how much fun we have." She walked away. The screen on the counter flashed. "Payment required." Waving my wrist over the screen, "Payment accepted," it flashed green. "Thank you, P12022. And went dark. Gritting my teeth, "I hate my space tag." I spun on the diner chair, maybe a little more dramatic than needed. Hopped off and walked straight out. I thought I've learned a few things on my journey, like how to find a deal. Banging this 57-year-old cyborg waitress / sex bot, well, you never know what you're going to find until you pop the hood. That machine is running a 4.0 pussy on a 1.1 platform. It's all about smelling a deal. Well, not actually smelling it.